I'm Myungju from Samsung, and I've been working for kernel and system frameworks for Tizen. I think I've been working for Tizen for like 4 years or 5 years. At the time, it was not Tizen, but we have been using the same Git repositories and all the same system for this project. Right now, I was told to become an architect for base domain and system domain, and I've started working on that as well. So today, yeah, we are going to talk about the ARM reference kernel of Tizen 3.0. All right, what the hell is this Tizen reference kernel, actually, for ARM reference kernel? Well, the basic definition will be it is the kernel and all the other device drivers for Tizen reference devices, which are RDPQ and RD210. And we have validated and tested all the features for these two devices. So they have tested for the QAs for production guys, but we haven't tested for the performance. So there is some performance optimization missing there, but we have been tested for the features here. Anyway, if they are just BSP packages for Tizen reference devices, then they are just another BSP, but actually, the purpose of the Tizen reference kernel is not just to support devices like these two reference devices. We are doing this because we want to provide the template or the basic building blocks for the other ARM vendors who are going to make some Tizen devices based on ARM SoCs. So we want to provide that to vendors. And another thing is how we can provide some Tizen common features and show them how to use them. These Tizen reference ARM kernels are for showing those Tizen common features to them. Well, right now for Tizen 3.0, we have been preparing KDBus, PMQS, user PMQS, and other DMFF synchronization framework for optimizing graphics performance. And then we also have other features like continuous memory allocator, DRM for ARM devices, and all the other frameworks. However, these frameworks are not mandatory for Tizen system because you can just skip those and use whatever you want. But we recommend that these kind of kernel subsystems, and those subsystems have been a lot of help to the performance optimizations. For example, with KDBus, we could send some multimedia images, or the images and sound via USB buses, and it was enough to use KDBus to activate the television systems. Things like PMQS with user space daemons, we have been able to save up to 5 or 10% of battery time. And DMFF synchronization framework, this has been started upstreaming to Linux mainline kernel. We have not completed yet, but this also increases the performance 10 to 20% for some specific scenarios. So we just have a lot of features in kernel, and we want to let the ARM vendors to use them. Okay, what's the history of this Tizen reference kernel? Well, until Tizen 2.2.1, we have been using Linux 3.0, which is quite obsolete now. Well, however, for Tizen 2.3 and 2.4, we are not going to push newer kernels for them. So we are just going to keep the old kernels for 2.x Tizen. However, for Tizen 3.0, we have been preparing new kernel versions. It is 3.10.y, which is being updated regularly. Right now, I think we are based on 3.10.33. We will keep revising every month or every 2 weeks. And this kernel supports both ARMv7 and ARX64. When you go to the Tizen branch, it supports ARMv7. And when you go to, there's a developmental branch with name of ARX64. And then you can use Tizen kernel for for Softail Express ARM device to test ARX64 with Tizen. And actually, officially, we have not announced the support for ARM64-bit in Tizen, but we have been successfully built Tizen images for ARX64 like last week or 2 weeks ago, and it is running with this reference kernel. And there is another unofficial support for ARMv6, which is for Raspberry Pi. And this kernel is under test and validation phase, so we didn't pass the QA yet, but we are going to pass that for the Tizen 3.0 bit beta or alpha releases. And for Intel architecture, well, I'm not working on that architecture, but we have another reference kernel for them. And actually, they are right now not using LTS kernel. They are using 3.15, 14 now. Oh, and the idea and principle of ARM reference kernel, we have a little bit contention on here. Why we have been choosing which version of Linux kernel and why we are adding some features to which kernel like that. So we are going to be aligned with the mainline. So every subsystem is supposed to be from mainline. And if what we want is not in mainline, then we are going to upstream everything to the kernel.org. And we, until now, it was quite successful. We have been upstreaming CMAs or IAMU supports on DMA buff related features. All the other features have been upstreamed to Linux community in order to support our Tizen devices. And actually, these subsystems are shared with the Android devices. So, well, this is not just for Tizen, it is for common ARM communities. And it is becoming quite a lot similar with x86 reference kernels. So, well, the ARM devices are not anymore any embedded special system. It's going to be quite similar with Intel architecture kernels. I think I've told this in the previous slide. And then, yeah, the result is that the with the vanilla kernel, you can learn Tizen on MGR devices. So if you just download, go to git.kernel.org and download all the Linux kernel tree from Linus Torvalds Git repository, then you can just, with the proper configuration options, you can use Tizen over MGR devices. Well, officially, MGR is supported, but there are other devices that support Tizen with vanilla kernel. I can suggest you to use U1HD, which is Galaxy S2. And there are other devices. They are also supported by vanilla kernel right now. For the reference kernel, we have been keep rebasing from 3.5 RCs to current version. And it has been easy to maintain. So whenever we do rebase, there was just one or two merge conflicts. So it was quite easy to keep rebase. We actually plan to rebase to next LTS whenever it comes out. So if 3.16 becomes the next LTS, then we will rebase our reference kernel to that. However, the time to rebase for next LTS is not yet determined, so we need to wait for that. And there are a few exceptions like modem or mobile HD link, and there are cameras or MFCs, which requires some special formal binaries from other vendors, so we cannot open the source code or other specifications for that to public because we don't own them. There is another thing. Here is the YouTube bootloader. We also try to make it aligned with the mainline .cu boot. It was so far so good. Well, with the mainline U boot, you can use MGRs or other Tizen reference devices directly from their mainline source code. And if you use the U-boot from Tizen.org, then there will be a little bit more features, but they are not mandatory or required. They are optional features. And there is some other things like better performance. React. When you download Tizen platform images with the U-boot from Tizen.org, like, for example, it will be done in like 100 seconds. And if you use the bootloader from the mainline, then it will take like 200 seconds, things like that. Why do we are trying to use RTS? Well, our vendors or prospective vendors have been requesting this. They wanted to longer support for bug fixes, and LTS supports that. For example, officially, this LTS is supposed to give 2 years or longer period of the bug fixes. And this LTS 3.10 has been there since last year. So it's going to be kept supported until next year, sometime like August or so. And there's another thing, there's LTSI, which is the industry fork of the original LTS, and it is also maintained by Greg KH. And many those companies on the right-hand side are the LTSI supporters, and they have been telling me to support LTSI with ARM reference kernels. And because the ARM reference kernel is based on LTS, it's just trivial to move on to LTSI. So I think we are already supporting the LTSI here. Also, the Intel has been telling me that they are going to support LTSI as well. So I guess they will support that in the next version. Another point in the ARM reference kernel is that we are going to use the device tree. But it's already done there. So if you go to titan.org and download kernel from linux.3.10.git, then you can see that we are using device tree. And well, currently, the supported devices in our reference kernel is M0s and Android boards. Those two, there are three boards officially supported in the titan.org. And they can share the same binary with that device tree support. So you just need to give them the XML description of the devices. Then it will automatically bring up all the device drivers required for the current bootup boards. So we have single tree and single binary for those multiple devices. And when we started using device tree, it was just because it was mandatory in this mainline. And right now, we are seeing the benefits of using device tree. We actually get shorter boot time, and we get smaller binary sizes. And then we have easier maintenance on the BSP projects. So when we have multiple productions going on with similar SoCs, then we are just let them use the same tree and same device drivers. So we are cutting the cost of BSPs. So what is the design of it? This is a bit lower side of the Titan architecture. And here you can see the kernel has some subsystems. They are they're important subsystems for ARM reference kernel. So for memory management, we are using these kind of things, graphics, multimedia, power management, and storage peripheral. So here, above it, there are OAL or HAL layer between the core subsystems and kernel. And those plugins are required to run the Titan subsystem with the reference kernel or any other Linux kernel for Titan. So this is the overview. In these kernel subsystems, we have done some major reworks on subsystems. And the most significant rework has been done in sensors. So in the previous Titan, until Titan 2.2.1, each sensor requires a binary plugin, which is here represented as chipa.sos. So each sensor has its own library. And this library is accessing kernel device driver for that. And this library is attached to the sensor framework. However, we still support such kind of approach for sensors, so you can simply reuse what we have been using in Titan 2.2.1. But we are now supporting another method. Just implement the device driver in IIO subsystem, and then you can write up any XML plugins for that. And this XML plugin is required for just for one plugin per one sensor type. So if you have plugin for accelerometer, then you just need one XML plugin for all the other accelerometer device drivers. So you can just reuse all the plugins. And Now we support sensor fusion plugins, which will combine the sensor information from these physical sensors and provide another virtual sensor based on physical sensor. And for users above this layer, the virtual sensor or fusion sensor information is regarded as same as other physical sensors. They just have different name. They require the same APIs and they provide the same functionalities. This has been the major rework in Tizen kernel. And another thing is we now support external connectors or XCON subsystem. But this was first developed to replace the switch subsystem of Android kernel. And with switch, we could just use one or zeros for each port. But with XCON subsystem, you can have multiple cables or multiple different status of cables for each port, and we can assign them different names or assign different device nodes for them. Still, the switch device drivers from Android is compatible with XCON, so you can just slap in the previous obsolete switch drivers into XCON directory, and just rename it into XCON, then it will work. In reference devices, XCON has been used for these micro USB IC and 3.5 Pi jack for earphones. And there is charger. Well, we have upstream the charger managers. It's pseudo framework for charger devices. We have upstream that, I think we did that like 3 or 4 years ago, but we were not using this actively, but with Tizen 3.0, charger manager has been the standard for chargers, at least in ARM devices. So we now support this charger manager framework, and the usual subsystems use this charger manager as a standard. However, this is not mandatory, and you can still use other frameworks or power supply class for this kind of devices. For power management, the main tasks in power management is done in kernel, and it is transparent to user space. So actually, you just need to make your own kernel that is aware of power management. But we now have another feature in user space. So we are going to provide power aware system service in system framework. The containing daemon will be device daemon, and this will support to catch up any user space event, such as what kind of application is launching, or if user is touching the screen, or whatever the user space can give you. And it will give hints to the kernel. So for example, this PASS, the PASS may give the CPU frequency to run at least 8 megahertz or at most 1 gigahertz, or things like that. For device frequencies, it can control the memory frequencies or bus frequencies or even GPUs. And it also has thermal considerations, so if the battery is going to be too hot or the CPU is going too hot, it can give regulations to the kernel drivers. Well, there are thermal frameworks in kernel, but they are not using the information from user space, so they are quite limited for their actions. But with PASS, we are going to give more information to kernel so that it can behave more nicely. And this PASS is not yet available in Tizen.org, but we are planning to go upstream until like July and August. And graphics has been a bit changed, but there is no major rework in graphics. So RipDRM has been changed since Tizen 2, and we have updated into Tizen.org so you can see what's going on with RipDRMs. And for Tizen 3, I think we are going to go to DRI3, and it was DRI2 in the previous Tizen, and Tizen 3, we are going to use DRI3. There have been some questions from other embedded vendors, especially from new SoC companies, and they usually want to make their graphic drivers in old ways, like just make a frame buffer device driver and stop there for device output. Well, we support such kind of device drivers. You just need to create DRM jam, and which DRM jam drivers can be reused from our Exynos reference. So you can just slap in the previous DRM jam driver into yours and keep using your own frame buffer device drivers. Then this, and you need to update the X driver. So you need to use X driver with frame buffer, not for DRM. Then your ARM device will work with Tizen. For memory management, well, there has been some update in DMFF. But in Tizen 2.2.1, we have been using Tizen Buffer Manager or TBM, which is in user space, and it gives you the ability to lock up the X access. So it also has been doing the cache coherence control. And because this was done by user space, it does not know any specific information from the device drivers itself. So it did cache flush or cache invalidate too many times. Well, it did it excessively to be slave. And it also did global locks for devices. So we cannot use multiple decrypted devices in ARM devices. However, with new version of DMFF, well, it is being updated right now and it is upstreaming. It is being upstreaming to the kernel.org right now. With the new DMFF subsystem, the cache control is done in device drivers. So the user space subsystem do not need to control cache coherency. So we have been reducing like about 50% of cache invalidation or cache flush operations. Also, we are now supporting dynamic size of TLB. So in the previous Tizen, the page size of the MMUs in the graphics domain has been fixed at 4 kilobytes, like other Linux pages. But with the new Tizen DMFF, the subsystem will automatically change the page size. So if the user is going to have 8 megabytes of buffer for CMD device or something like that, then the subsystem will make this page size 1 megabyte or 4 megabytes, whatever it supports, and make the number of pages smaller so that we can reduce the number of page faults in TLBs. So the incoming features, DMFF. Yeah. All right. I can make this publicly available, right? Oh, so these are the new features for ARM devices. We have some benchmark results relating with these three features. We have not done separated benchmark for each item, but with all these three features, well, the power and purpose both has been improved. So we use less power and we get higher frame per second with these features. Also, you can see the patches in the mainline. We have been upstreaming all the patches related with this. Okay, for multimedia, well, there have been not much updating multimedia as well. Just we have been updating the plugin to be compatible with mainline, the upstream versions. So we have updated the GStreamer plugin and OpenMax IR. OpenMax interfaces. All right, let's skip this. Also, the popular topics about the ARM device is ARM 64-bit support. Well, the kernel is ready for them, and Linaro has been doing a lot of things for this support. We have imported their work into our Tizen kernel, and we have slapped in the DRM support and other compatibility patches to Linaro's 64-bit kernels. Well, this is a bit old information. So in this slide, you can see there are 24 build failures in Tizen.org with 64-bit. And right now, the number of failed packages is 0. So we have completed building all the packages for 64-bit. Well, there are some local patches that are not applied to Tizen.org. So I don't think you can use this right now, but we will upstream all the patches soon. And we are expecting to complete this task in this month. We have the test images for ARM 64-bit as well. You can get this image and download that tizen.org. What are the devices supported by this reference device, reference kernel? Well, officially, M0 is the only one that is supported by this reference device, but We have been working for other devices as well, like Android X2, Android U3, even Gear 2, and the Obsolete Reference Device RD210. And then there are also other Exynos devices that are supported by this reference kernel. We are not disclosing it because they are not officially publicly available to you, so we are not showing them here. Anyway, there is another device experimentally supported by this kernel, like this ANV8 First Express. And our tree support is for the Raspberry Pi. We are also started preparing for next versions. We are working, right now we are working on 3.15 RC 4 or 5 for these devices. So we will support right away when the next LTS comes. Discussions, you can ask any questions from now. Well, you could do that in previous slides. Well, which LTS or LTS size to use? Well, the principle for ARM reference kernel is to use the most recent LTS version. So right now that is why we are right now using 3.10. And if 3.15 or 16 becomes the next LTS, I think we can release our reference kernel within a month after the release. And I think we will need about 3 months to stabilize that. And we have been following up with the Linux mainline, debasing all the patches onto it. So I think we can do that quite fast with the next LTS. And the thing that we have not yet explored is how to convert LTS into LTSI. Well, I think technically it is not important or not difficult, but we have never done them yet, so we will test it soon. So we are going to have more than two LTS versions from now. If 3.14 is going to be the next LTS, then we need to move back because we have rebased onto 3.15. No, I don't think so. For ARM reference kernel, I will just stay with LTS because we are not using any features from LTSI. We are just satisfied with LTS. But we are going to support LTSI anyway because some vendors want it. Well, smaller devices. Well, I think the Yocto guys have a lot of progress on this section. I think I heard in the demo that they are supporting right now like 64 megabytes. But we also have some plans for smaller devices in ARM devices. And we have been trying this even with UC Linux with no MMUs, and we just gave up on that because there's no more modern support for this kind of devices. So we just gave up on UC Linux. And for minimizing kernel size, well, kernel itself is not taking too much memory, so we actually don't need that for small devices. However, for Tizen in ARM, we have been testing with 256 megabytes of DRAM, and it was quite nice. Actually, this Gear 2, when you look at the memory uses, you will see that it is using less than 256, so it is already done with Gear 2. And so we are now targeting 128. Which system? Samsung Z? Oh, it uses Qualcomm 8974. A file system. I think Z is using just EXT4. Yeah. It should be 4.5. No later. Well, I could be wrong because they are in the different division, but yeah, that's my guess. And for security, the FAT has been the problem as well. We cannot apply SMAC into it. When we were testing Wayland, we had, well, actually no visible changes in kernel. The Wayland guys has been doing all the work for the replacement for X. Actually, we have tested Wayland on Gear 2. It didn't support that. right now, I think we are using GCC 4.8.3 in Python.0. And there's a plan to update that to 9.4.9. I think we are going to update that like around September or October. I think we can use more architectures or other options at that time. Actually, you need to ask that to two chain guys. Yeah, I will need to check with the two chain guys. Yeah. Right. You mean after corner boots? We are using systemd. Systemd. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For trusted boot, you should use bootloaders for that. In Exynos, bootloaders. In Exynos, the SoC itself has some key signing and checking the sign. So the first bootloader should be signed with the keys accepted by the SoC itself. So the secure booting signing process goes up down to first bootloader, then second bootloader kernel, and so on. And for reference kernel, we have stopped the signing at the first bootloader. So from the second bootloader, which is U-boot, we don't need signing for reference devices. We actually recommend them to use DRM anyway, but some SoC vendors do not have enough manpower to do that. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Oh, no. That's not true. The sensor feature plugin is just one of the other sensor plugins. So the picture is misleading. The vendor can define that. You can write down your definitions for the sensors at the XML plugin. Yeah, there are default sensor types. Yeah, orientation, acceleration, or gravity, or so on. And you can add more. All right. Thank you.